Let us join in the spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, and may the thoughts, the meditations, and the reflections of this your congregation find acceptance and pleasure in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. One of my responsibilities as the assistant pastor of the American Protestant Church of The Hague, my first year out of seminary, was to lead a bicycle retreat. Well, after some deliberation and no little planning, three adults besides myself and 21 youth crossed the English Channel to Scotland, where over the course of 2 weeks, we bicycled over 600 miles from Edinburgh to Glasgow. I recall one scene in particular from this retreat. We were bicycling along Route A83 between Cairndow and Ardgarten in southwestern Scotland. As the road made a right turn to begin a long and steep ascent to a point aptly named Rest and Be Thankful, you could hear dogs barking and sheep bleating. To our right, on a mountain, as we started climbing, were a few sheep herders and their border collies working to corral a flock of sheep to be dipped and disinfected. Now, border collies are very intelligent dogs, and these dogs were very well trained. They would lie low and then dart to and fro, barking at the confused and disoriented, frightened sheep to scare them into going where they were supposed to go. But gradually, they were succeeding. But it was work. For their part, the sheep weren't certain which way to turn to flee the dogs, and their bleating cries could be heard from our vantage point a few hundred yards away. Eventually, the flock was moved down the mountain and into the valley where the corral was located. And then we continued biking up the road to that point where aptly we could rest and be thankful with the memory, the new vista, and before coasting down the other side of the mountain pass to our garden. I had witnessed a noteworthy contrast to the scene just weeks earlier when I chanced to visit Israel and the Holy Land. There our bus came upon a shepherd and his sheep moving from one pasture to another. But these sheep weren't bleating in confusion, fear, or panic. They were walking in line, following in a single row in the footsteps of a Bedouin shepherd who walked out in front of them. The shepherd was simply striding across the terrain in front of his herd of sheep, and the sheep were following. Now, while I found the work of the border collies remarkable, I found the walk of this shepherd amazing and phenomenal. I recalled many times in my own youth when I was raised on a farm back in Iowa, where we would try to move cows, sheep, hogs, even chickens, sometimes from one pen to another, and they would never follow us. That would have made things a lot easier, but it just never happened. Getting animals to new pastures or to a new pen was a challenge on the best of days, and not many days were that good. In biblical times, shepherds were a familiar sight, and it is small wonder that the image of the shepherd was promoted by Jesus. It was part of his Jewish heritage and culture. Abraham, the father of the nation, had been the keeper of great flocks. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro when God called him to lead his people out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. David, of course, was a shepherd prior to his call to become the king of Israel. And tradition would suggest that David gave us the beautiful thoughts of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah using the image of the shepherd as well. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs into his arms. To be sure, the tradition and image of the shepherd were very much part of the heritage of Jesus And it is not surprising that Jesus made reference to this familiar image. And yet the life of a shepherd in biblical times was not as glamorous as many persons tend to think of it in our day and age. Though people may think that sleeping outside under the stars and leading sheep to green pastures and still waters is romantic, the reality was something else. It was back in the 1920s and 30s when a missionary to the Jicarilla Apache Indian tribe in northwestern New Mexico introduced these Native Americans to sheep as a potential cash cow. Their traditional lifestyle had been disrupted and destroyed, and raising sheep could provide income and worthwhile labor for the tribe. The terrain was certainly appropriate, and it wasn't long before thousands of sheep could be seen in the valleys and mountainsides of the reservation. But it didn't last long. I recall seeing an old dilapidated railroad stock car deteriorating on the railroad tracks not far from the parsonage where I resided for 20 months some years ago. In the 50s and 60s, you see, oil and natural gas reserves were discovered on the reservation, and the men and the women of the tribe started to receive monthly stipends from the royalties gathered from the sale of these oil reserves. The sheep business promptly collapsed. No one wanted to do the hard work of tending sheep when they could simply collect their monthly stipends. Indeed, it had been hard work. Sheep need to keep moving lest they nibble the vegetation too close to the ground and simply kill it off. Sheep require water, and it wasn't always readily available on the rugged terrain. And good land for raising sheep was also good terrain for lobos. That is the mascot of New Mexico, University of New Mexico. Lobos, of course, being timber wolves, who delight, by the way, in lamb chops. Shepherds had to keep constant vigil over their sheep, both day and night, lest they become food for the wolves. The hours were long, difficult. For a couple decades, raising sheep had proven fruitful and beneficial to the tribe, but it was a job quickly relinquished when another source of income became available. It was little different in Jesus' day. The image of the shepherd we have is romantic and perhaps glamorous, living outside, eating over a campfire, sleeping under the stars. The reality is that shepherding was a challenging profession, one attempted not by persons of means, but by the lower classes of the population who would embrace the hardship and difficulties associated with it. New Testament scholar Joachim Jeremias lists shepherds on the level of camel and ass drivers, butchers, dung collectors, and tax collectors. People of means did not become shepherds in Jesus' day. Furthermore, it was rather assumed that shepherds were dishonest and untrustworthy. Many, if not most, shepherds actually took care of sheep owned by someone else, as Jesus pointed out. Jesus termed them hirelings, a rather unflattering term at best. It was how these men earned a living. Of note, though, there were laws and regulations on the books which made it illegal to buy a lamb directly from a shepherd because it would be assumed that it was stolen property. Perhaps the best summary of the status of shepherds in Jesus' day would be to suggest that no good Jewish mother would ever dream of her son becoming a shepherd. Now, the Jewish leaders who heard Jesus talking about being a good shepherd were divided. While some thought that Jesus must be something special, otherwise he would not have been able to perform the signs and miracles which he did, still others were puzzled by the fact, no doubt, that Jesus was trying to say something positive about shepherds and himself as some sort of good shepherd. The reality of the shepherds that people regularly encountered in Jesus' day, despite aspects of their Jewish tradition, simply did not allow them to entertain a positive image of shepherds. Would anyone here suggest that there might be such a thing as a good crook? I rather doubt it. That's an oxymoron. The two words don't belong together. Likewise, good and shepherd were not words that belonged together in Jesus' day. Jesus offered a particular action as a definition of a good shepherd. He indicated that the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. Now again, if the Jews had recalled the life of their great King David, they would recall how King Saul initially had supposed David to be far too small and inexperienced to take on the Philistine giant Goliath. But the brash young David responded by pointing out that he had already prevailed over both a lion and a bear who would have made off with the sheep in his charge. David had demonstrated his dedication, his love, and his care for the sheep in his charge. His battle with the Philistine giant Goliath was simply another instance of his being willing to put his life on the line, to sacrifice his life, if need be, for those who were in his charge. When in fact Jesus was called upon to put his life on the line, he did so, and not begrudgingly, but willingly. Jesus associated the words good and shepherd in his mind. And his death upon the cross was positive proof that it was more than simply an ideal. Since the life of Jesus, his followers have maintained the notion that there can be such a thing as a good shepherd. And Jesus, in fact, we have the embodiment of the good shepherd. Yet if Jesus is the good shepherd, that would suggest that those who follow Jesus are the sheep of his pasture. Again, that isn't really the most flattering of comparisons. Someone has suggested that, quote, God created sheep in order to make chickens look smart, unquote. Sheep are amongst the most dumb of God's creatures. In his book, Traveling Light, author Max Lucado writes, and I quote, sheep are dumb. Have you ever seen a sheep trainer? Ever seen sheep tricks? Know anyone who has taught his sheep to roll over? No, sheep are just too dumb, unquote. To be compared to a sheep is not really all that flattering. And yet sheep will manifest one quality which is commendable. They will follow. They will follow the shepherd. Though it isn't always good that they follow either. In a book entitled Exploding Pigs, author Ian Simmons tells about a group of Chinese shepherds in Mongolia who were put in a difficult place when their herd of sheep took it into their heads to commit mass suicide in a lake. Two sheep were, with an apparent death wish, took the lead, jumping into a 5-foot deep body of water, which prompted the other sheep to do what? They followed and jumped in too. 20 herdsmen took part in a 3-hour rescue, which succeeded in saving 281 sheep, while another 249 animals drowned. And amazingly, some of the rescued sheep had to be restrained from jumping back into the water yet again. They're not the brightest of creatures. I suppose that is why Jesus speaks of the sheep heeding his voice. Jesus is the exemplary shepherd who cares about the sheep and will even lay down his life for the sheep. There was a tourist from the States some years ago who was traveling in the Middle East, and he came upon several shepherds whose flocks had been intermingled in a corral overnight. After an exchange of greetings, one of the shepherds turned toward the commingled sheep and called out, "Mana, Mana, Mana," which translates from Arabic as "follow me." And immediately his sheep separated themselves from the rest and followed their shepherd. One of the two remaining shepherds then called out, "Mana, Mana," and his sheep left the common flock to follow him. Well, the traveler thought this looked easy. I'd like to try that, he said to the third shepherd. The shepherd smiled knowingly as the traveler went so far as to wrap himself in his cloak and don the turban of the shepherd as he called out, "Mana, Mana!" And not a single sheep moved. "Will the sheep ever follow someone other than you?" the traveler asked. "Oh, yes," the shepherd replied. "Sometimes a sheep gets sick, and then it will follow anyone." We've all seen that, have we not? People, both young and old, who are sick, battered by the storms of life and distracted by voices to go this way and that, they have lost their bearings and don't know where they are or where they're going. That can be more than a little frightening. It leads to despair and hopelessness. And when someone is plagued with such sickness, they will follow anyone who promises a moment of happiness, a brief feeling of peace or forgetfulness, a sense that they are really someone. The opioid crisis in our nation today, on top of the abuse of alcohol in our nation, is a prime example of such phenomena. But the call of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is this: I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There is no better way, no greater way, no happier nor more fulfilled life. Our Lord reaches out to those in love in order that they might follow him. And in following him, we will discover happiness and life eternal with our Father in heaven. Those shepherds were hardly glamorous or romantic. Still, we entertain nostalgic images of shepherds. And that's simply because there was one shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He was exemplary. And those who followed Jesus then, and those who follow Jesus yet today, like sheep, feel safe, secure. And they are blessed, even as they in turn become a blessing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, like a shepherd, we pray you will lead us. And we pray, O God, that we might be good followers, good sheep, faithful disciples. Inspire us, O God, uplift us, and guide us, we pray, to follow the voice of your good shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen.